Blog Talk Radio. everybody. Welcome to another episode of the West Texas Pitmaster's Barbecue Show on Sunday nights, sponsored by Daryl Mass from Barbecue Superstars. I'm running a little bit behind tonight. It's been kind of a crazy day. We've had some snow here in West Texas, and so I just seem to run behind with everything I've done today. So get everybody to call in tonight. And I really don't have anybody lined up, per se, so be a good night for you guys who want to talk barbecue and want to talk profiles or, you know, you have questions about barbecue. Get people to call in tonight, and let's talk a little Q. The number to call is 347-202-0263. And we'll just kind of shoot from the hip tonight, and we'll have a good time. So I know there's been a lot going on. The OBR's been deployed in Washington, Illinois, with all the tornado stuff out there. So I know there's been a lot going on. The Western Wood Series was this weekend out of Green. We'd like some updates on that. If anybody has some good information on that end of it, there's been very little posted about it this weekend. We'll talk about that and just whatever else. Well, it looks like actually we've got one caller in queue. I'll go ahead and queue him in, and we'll start talking a little barbecue. Hold on just a minute. 904-673-4973, you're live. Who do we have?
What's going on, Lance? It's Blake Moody.
Hey, Moody, how are you doing, man?
I'm pretty good, bro. Pretty good.
Well, so say, look like you may have been hanging out with Daryl and stuff this weekend. Is that right?
God dang, man, the barbecue superstar himself, man, came down to sunny Jacksonville, Florida. And, yeah, it was a hell of an honor to meet that man.
He's a lot of fun. He's nonstop. I mean, he's just going here, going there. And I mean, it's, he'll run your butt off. But, nah, he's a good guy. I'm glad you got to meet him. So, now that was, what was the contest dinner that you guys were at this weekend?
That was a FBA event. That's the Florida Barbecue Association. It's called the, I guess, the Smoking Flamingo Fest. It was the first year event, but pretty well attended. Had over, I think it's like 40 pro teams and almost like 10 backyard teams, and pretty good payout. I think it was like 15.5 was the pot. But
Oh, that is good.
What's that?
That is a good payout. Anytime I get to over $10,000, that's $10,000 more to me. That's a really good payout. So.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I guess Whiskey Mint was down there. Chad Ward was there this weekend, too. Took it in that one, was he not?
Nah, we had a KCBS in South Florida. Now, see, where I'm at in Jacksonville, that's almost South Georgia. It's a real, real North Florida. And
okay.
KCBS down south was, I think it was Plant City.
That's it, yes. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a chance to kind of look things up this weekend. So I'm a little disorientated where everything was at and what everything was going on. I know, you know, we had a big cook-off, you know, in South Texas. Then around San Antonio, actually, this weekend, you know, the Western Wood put on a competition series. And so this was the first leg of the first series this weekend. And, man, there just hadn't been a lot said about it today. So I was kind of hoping we'd hear a little bit more because there was, I think, I had 150 teams down there.
Damn it, man. Woo!
So, I think the payout there was like $33,000 or something, $34,000. It was big. And so I thought they would see a little bit. There's not a little bit about it, but I know that Clarence Joseph, he won first in brisket and, you know, some things like that. Just been kind of quiet. Of course, they had, you know, Texas, we kind of got slammed this weekend with some weather. So that's part of it, too, is that I think that they all had bad weather down that way too. They didn't get the snow like we did up here, but I've got close to 4 inches of snow sitting here right now. It's like 27 degrees.
What the hell is snow, brother? What the hell is that?
Yeah. It's like that white stuff you see out there on them beaches, except for it's a lot colder.
There you go.
So, yeah, I got out today, and, you know, I've got that catering coming up, and one night they're wanting to do some beef ribs and baby backs, and so it's been a while since I ran some beef ribs, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just kind of throw a little practice today on a little beef rib, and it sounded good. It's kind of cold, you know, ain't nothing like a big old dinosaur bone, and then I was right in the middle of that, and one of our friends called, and they were having computer problems, so I've been over messing with the computer for about the last hour or so. So that's why I don't have any links and stuff up. I'm way behind.
There you go. So, yeah, just roll with it, man. But those beef ribs, man, those are that's good stuff.
Oh, I love beef ribs. And so I have a brisket rub that I use, and I was playing with my brisket rub on it. And it's a rub that I use pretty much for catering and stuff like that. I mean, I really don't compete much with it, you know, since I've got Oak Ridge, you know, and he's got some, you know, kick-ass stuff out there. But, you know, just for catering and stuff like that, I've got a pretty good rub. And, you know, it's not even a bad competition rub. It's just, you know, I got some stuff that's money there. I was using it today, and I'm going to have to back off the salts a little bit on it for the ribs. Got a little bit too much salt for the, you know, for briskets and stuff, it's pretty good, you know, because a lot of meat, but on the ribs, it's got a little too much salt. So I'm going to have to tweak that a little bit here this next week and try it again. But everything else about them, man, they were good. They had great flavor. So, but now there it is. I mean, I love good beef ribs. You know, and the thing about them is they're not expensive, you know, normally. I mean, they're, you know, pretty inexpensive, you know, for the most part on that end of it. So that's kind of nice, too.
Are you getting all your stuff from the at Raider Red?
Most of my briskets, my pork ribs, steaks and stuff like that, yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
He's not doing – they're not really doing beef ribs, on that end of it, so I'm having to go, you know, more local on that end of it. But everything else, I mean, man, they just got a hell of a deal, and I mean, they got a hell of a selection. And you know, I don't think I've cooked their baby backs yet, and I'm looking forward to cooking some of them. But I've cooked lots of their spares already. I've cooked, you know, the first time I cooked their pork loin was over at the Invitational in IBCA. And, I mean, hell, we got an eighth place with it. And, I mean, man, it was good. So they just, you know, they've got some good meat out there. And they've got the storefront up now online. They've got a few things on it already. So I've got to talk to Tate about that and kind of see where they're going. They've got some steaks and some things like that, some of the holiday stuff up there right now. So I know they are doing some shipping and stuff now. And I don't know kind of what the plan is on that yet, you know, when they'll get their briskets and like that stuff in there. But, you know, hopefully that's pretty soon, too. You know, and you know, it seemed like the briskets, so I mean, you know, to me, the big thing that they're doing with them more than anything is they're aging them. They're wet aging them things for 40 to 50 days.
God bless them. They know what the hell they're doing is what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I mean, you know, I was, you know, and I was kind of surprised. I mean, you know, I've hit a few times, I say a few, you know, I've hit more this year in brisket than I had realized. And, you know, like I said, when I finally got in to cooking the Raider Red meat, I think probably out of the last six or seven contests, I think, you know, we've hit in brisket or final table in brisket every time but once, I believe. You know, it just, man, it's been, I mean, just unbelievable. So I've been really happy with that. I mean, that's been that's a huge thing. I mean, when you can start nailing brisket in any competition, you know, that's a lot of damn help.
Well, it's godlike, and it's the – Isn't that the tiebreaker is your brisket? for y'all?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I said, you know, in the past, I mean, you know, when I first started cooking and I started competing, you know, we kind of came out of the gate swinging pretty early on with chicken and ribs. And, man, I lost a big state championship here my first year cooking. It was like 84 teams, and I was in a three-way tie for grand champion. And we lost out, and the tiebreaker was brisket.
Oh.
And, you know, that was a killer. I was sitting there, I mean, you know, you go home and you sit there and you look at it, and you look at that and you're going, it makes you sick. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, man, we got to do something. And after that, we hit a couple of times. And then, you know, it finally, we started picking up. And, I mean, you know, we kind of honed it I had some buddies give me a little advice here and there. And I mean, just kind of, you know, start putting it all together and tweaking it a little bit more. And, you know, finally got some more of that, what they call a competition brisket, you know. And, you know, finally kind of, you know, that's the thing is, I mean, you know, there's lots of good, great brisket, you know, recipes and briskets out there. But it's not competition. And
oh, hell no.
Do you find a competition, you know, type brisket that works? I mean, you know, hell, it'll kill you.
That's the one thing that you know, talking to the protein and stuff is you'll pay out the ass for a brisket. Like, you can get your chicken from the grocery store. I mean, good chicken helps, and of course, you know, good pork and good ribs and all that, but, you know, the brisket, that's most of your money right there. You know, that's what's going to, you know, make or break you in the tiebreaker. And I figured out this weekend, these more cats were cooking these Wagyus than I thought. And I was like, damn, man. And you know, cooking them for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, you hook up with a Raider Red, I'm sure they're, you know, like you said, aging them, and I bet those things look good enough to eat, you know, get them all trimmed up and probably looking fine already, you know?
Well, you know, and that's the thing is, I mean, you know, and, you know, and this is, you know, that's how the chin, and I've heard lots of guys tell you and say this, I mean, some really good things. I mean, they'll cook select and choice briskets. But, you know, one of the keys that a lot of them guys are doing to that is, you know, they're finding, you know, a good-looking brisket. And, you know, of course, you know how that is, too. I mean, you know, they're judging that stuff off the hoof. They're getting graded. You know, sometimes, you know, meat will grade, you know, better than what it gets graded to begin with. But,
yeah.
You know, you get a good-looking brisket. It's got some good marbling in it. And then you age that thing. Well, I mean, right there, I mean, you know, especially if you get 40, 50 days on those briskets, I mean, that thing's sitting there breaking down, it's tender. And,
yeah.
To me, it's already got, you know, beef's got, I mean, for the most part, it's got a pretty decent flavor, but you get that in there and then, you know, you inject and you do all the other crap that you're going to do to one, and I mean, you know, hell, I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And, you know, the things that I have noticed about those briskets more than anything, and you probably heard me say this, is that it's like when they hang up, you know, we're always used to, you know, a brisket hanging up around 170, 180, you know, and hang there for a while. But it's funny,
yeah.
You know, these here, they'll sit there and they'll kind of hang up about 193, 194 degrees. And I turned them in, you know, right in that range, and, I mean, they've done fine. But, you know, in Texas, you know, you hear us talk about, you know, we're trying to take them to a little over 200 degrees because they're cutting it with a fork and a knife. And,
yep.
You know, they just they seem to hang up, and they take a little longer in that 10-degree range right there for them to hit. And, I mean, it's I hadn't figured that part of it out yet. It has something to do with the aging and stuff, and I'm convinced, you know, with just the proteins and stuff and what's going on in there. But, you know, I turned in, well, that one where we were at Traders Village. I mean, you know, the championship for IBCA. That damn thing hung up about 193, 194, and I think I finally pushed it to 195. And I was out of time. I mean, I literally, you know, I was just running behind that whole weekend period. And, you know, I went ahead and I pulled it off. And I let it rest for a few minutes and got all my stuff done and got ready. And I went ahead and sliced it. And I was sitting there and I was kind of on the line about that. But, I mean, out of those 90 teams, those championship teams over there, I mean, that was 11th place Bristol. And I was like, I'll take that. They were taking top 15. I mean, hell, that brisket paid out $450 for 11th place. So I was like, I'll take that, especially in this group.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, the size of y'all's cooks out there in Texas is unfreaking believable because it's still, you know, the cream rises to the top. But, man, you'll pull 150 teams without sweating, you know?
Oh, it is unbelievable. I mean, you know, it is a wild deal. I mean, you start getting into these things. I mean, you know, the average size cook-off probably for me this year, I mean, if you were to shoot an average, it's probably 60 teams. And, I mean, that's just nuts, you know, just nuts. You know, you see all these people that won, you know, lots of grands and, you know, this and that, you know, they're not having to cook in a lot of those fields like that every weekend. And, you know, it's just kind of blown up around here. And it's, man, you know, you get in there, and just what you said, I mean, it draws out all the good guys. And, I mean, you've got them there. I mean, because, you know, there's good money. You know, you start bringing in that many people. And, you know, at a $100 entry fee or more, I mean, there's some serious cash. And,
That's $100. Now I wish we could, you know, have some pro style comps for $100. That's we can't cook we can't cook for less than entry fee being like $250, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's when
see,
I
and
say $250,
that
I mean that excludes us, you know. That means we're out. So.
Well, and you know, that's something with KCBS. I mean, most contests are $250. Or more.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, right. You don't ever, hardly ever see a contest. I think I seen one, I don't remember where the heck it was at, but it was like $170. And, I mean, that was a steal for a, you know, Kansas City cook. But that is it, you know. And I think that's part of the thing, you know, why we don't see as much down here is because, you know, payout wise and stuff, we can go spend $100 and we get some of these bigger contests stuff like that. I mean, you can make some pretty good change, and you don't have all that to go through. I mean, you know, there's not all the promotion and the associated costs and stuff that it costs to put on a KCBS. I mean, now on the other side of that is we need some more KCBS around here because you know there's just so much that revolves around that side of it.
Right. Yeah, they're not the end all be all, but yeah, that's some top dollar, and those cooks out there just in Texas, that's you know, the size and entry fee and I don't know, it's the pros. It's not like a bunch of backyard cookers. I'm sure it's a lot of backyard cookers, but it's also, you know, you and Craig Sherry and Junior and John and you know.
Oh, it just, I mean, it is. I mean, there's just so many, and there's lots of good cooks. I mean, you know, like we talked about, I mean, there's people like Ronnie Wade and, you know, hell, I mean, you know, he's going to be in that cook-off again with Big Poppy Smokers, you know, puts on. And, you know, and as a matter of fact, they had a little deal about it the other day about all that, you know. And I didn't, you know, you don't realize, but, I mean, Ronnie's had over 125 GCs.
There you go. That's And Landon, if he's a Texas cook, just like we were talking about, he's beating 60, 80 teams every time. You know.
Yeah.
That's crazy shit.
I mean. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, no, he's tough as hell. I mean, I've cooked with him, you know, many times now. And, you know, that's why I laugh. You know, I tell that story about, you know, up here at Amarillo this year. You know, there was 105 teams there. One of the guys came up to me and said, hey, one of my buddies said, hey, man, he said, there's a guy looking for you. I said, looking for me for what? Well, I don't know. He wants to whoop your ass. What my ass about what? So I was like, who is this guy? He's like, I don't know. He said, I told him where you were at, though. Oh, well, thanks, bud. I said, what does the guy look like? He said, I don't know. He's a big son of a bitch. And I was like, oh, I appreciate that. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, I'm over there cooking. Of course, you know, we got the kids' queue and stuff on, so, you know, I don't have a lot of time to be, you know, just too concerned with this. I've got things going on, things to do. And a little while later, this big son again walks up to me. My name's Tom Fisher. And I said, nice to meet you. He said, I'm here to whoop your ass. And I said, you are? He said, yeah. He said, you're the guy to beat. I said, guy to beat for what? He said, you're the guy to beat at this contest. And I said, hell, that ain't me. I said, there's bigger fish in the fries than me, buddy. He said, nope. He said, as far as I'm concerned, you're the man. And I was like, oh, where the hell you get this deal at? And I said, you got people like Ronnie Wade here this weekend. Those are the guys you need to be worried about, not me. And he's a pretty good guy. I've got to know him, but I thought, you know, why in the hell, you know, you need to go around and look a little bit closer to who's out here, because there's some guys that have some serious credentials here. And, you know, we're standing, and, you know, I didn't even know Ronnie was coming up. We were standing in the cook's meeting. I seen him and his wife, Michelle, kind of standing over in the background, around the kind of corner. They were just kind of standing there. And I caught a glance of Michelle, and I thought, damn, that's Wait. And I was talking to some of the other guys. I said, hell. I said, this contest just got real interesting. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, hell. I said, Ronnie and Michelle Wade are here this weekend. They're like, oh, baloney. And I said, no. I said, hell, they're out over there. And I went over and talked to them afterwards. And, you know, because we just don't see him out here much, you know, in this way. But, you know, part of it was that, you know, he was, you know, going for the 7 GCs this year because, you know, he had that automatic qualifier into to the Jack. And you know, he was hitting a little bit more out this way. And you know, I'm sure that's one part of it. And, of course, you know, hell, they were paying out $10,000 or $11,000 that weekend there, too. So, I mean, it's one of those things you come hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I told the guys, I said, man, I said, no, I said, there's bigger fish here to fry than me, buddy. I may be the least of your worries. But, you know, it's funny how some of these people perceive some of this stuff. And, you know, it's like, man. But, you know, it is. We have big contests. I mean, there's a lot of competition. Like you said, I mean, there's guys like Craig. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, he was number 5 overall last year at the American Royal. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze about. And, you know, we got Ronnie. He was 3rd overall at the Jack. You got Cervantes. You got Sierra. You know,
oh,
hell, then you got the Pitmaster. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Hell, then you got Victor and them boys down there, and I mean, I've competed with them guys too. And now, I mean, they're just, you know, tough. I mean, you know, so yeah. I mean, hell, I mean, you know, there's a hell of a lineup out there. And you know, and that's what I tell everybody too. I mean, I think that's part of the deal is that, you know, you know, it's kind of like football players and stuff like that. You know, everybody always used to relate, you know, to them old corn-fed linemen and stuff, you know, they come out of Nebraska, you know, big old farm boys. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, Texas, I mean, when it comes to barbecue, I mean, Texas is already well-known for barbecue, but, you know, when you've got 300 to 400 teams a weekend competing in this state, I mean, it's a serious thing, you know. And that's why I tell people, I said, I think that there's probably more teams competing in the state of Texas in a weekend than there is anywhere else. So,
yeah, we,
I agree.
We, I don't know how, you know, well known Florida is recognized as, you know, a barbecue, you know, set of ass whoopers, but, I know Texas is, you know.
Well, I mean, and there's, I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, Florida, I mean, you've got Florida, you've got Georgia, You know, both those areas too. I mean, yeah, I mean, SBA and the Georgia Barbecue Association, like that. You guys got a lot of them tough teams down that way too. I mean, it ain't nothing to sneeze at. And, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, that's, you know, and that's the other side of that too. It's, I mean, you know, where you guys are at, I mean, you guys can kind of compete year round. You know, hell, it's not even Thanksgiving, and I got damn near 4 inches of snow on the ground today. And, you know, I was glad I wasn't cooking a contest this weekend.
And let me tell you, Lance, we were wearing flip flops yesterday. That's the truth. Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's Chadwick called me yesterday evening. You know, he went and did that commercial, that casting deal yesterday. So he called me last night on the way home, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Hell, I'm sitting here watching this snow." He's like, "Oh, bullshit." I said, "Huh, Ted? Damn serious." He's like, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He said, "I'm walking around in shorts." And I said, "Yeah, well, welcome to our world." He said, "You're serious?" And so this morning when I got out about, 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning, went and got the girls' breakfast and stuff. And as a matter of fact, I had to go get my turkeys and hams for my first round for Thanksgiving cooking. And thought, well, you know, this morning will be a good day because there won't be many people out at the store this morning. And, you know, I'm kind of get in there and get out the heck out. And so I took a couple of pictures and I texted them to him. And he's like, "Damn." I said, "Yeah, there you go." So it's kind of crazy. I really need this to melt off a little bit because, you know, like I said, I've got two ice chests, big ice chests right now full of meat that needs to be going on the pit. Next couple of days, and you know, I normally put them in ice chests and they'll thaw out. But 27 degrees out here right now. I think our high today was 30. It's gonna be a little hard to get this. Yeah, it's gonna be a little hard to get this stuff thawing out. I may have to microwave everything.
Holy shit, man! That's goddamn. You better build up the fire in that stick burner.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'll be firing it up. Guru will be running. Will be running on this deal. I mean, that'll take care of a lot of it. I mean, you know, I like I said, I ran today. I had it up to about 350 degrees pretty easy. And, but, you know, it's like last year. I'll tell you this. Here's another funny story. Last year, you know, I'm doing turkeys. And so last year, I had some people bring me turkeys and stuff like that. And so I'm out here, I'm putting them on and everything. And, one of our friends, he called and said, "Hey, you doing turkeys?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I bring you one over?" And you do it. I said, yeah, that's fine. I got enough room. Bring it. I didn't know that he, like, literally just stopped at the grocery store and bought this thing. This thing was frozen like a brick. And he brings it to me. He's like, "Well, I just picked it up." And I was like, "Holy crap." And so, I mean, I put it in the water, and I worked on that turkey. I finally got the stuff out of it and got it rinsed off. I thought, hell, it's going to have to go on. And I just, you know, had to go with it. And I didn't think a damn bird was ever going to get done. Hell, I think it was probably 32 degrees when I put it on or less. And
right.
I was like, okay, I'll get the turkeys from now on because that may damn near ruin me right there. But it was a good bird. I mean, I got it cooked to do what?
You got enough variables cooking a bunch of birds anyway. You don't need, one frozen from the Piggly Wiggly and then one, you know, perfectly fine from the Food Line and the, you know, Raider Red Bird looking good as well.
Yeah.
You got enough variables with a 32 outside of the high.
Yeah, you know, and then, I had the other one I had another lady brought me like a 25-pound bird, and most of my birds, I'm trying to get, I always tell everybody 16 to 18. This year they've been more than 18 to 20, just what's been around, I mean, you know, so they're a little bit bigger. But, you know, the thing about it is it's not so bad as if you got them all pretty much the same size. They're all going to cook pretty much the same, so it's not such a big deal. And, I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, I mean, I had frozen bird, I had 25-pound birds, and then, you know, I had the ones that I was normally doing that were, you know, 18 to 20 pounds, and I'm going, damn, you guys are really going to make me work on this year. And
you better use your senses, boy, when you cook
it. Yeah.
Get up. Stay alive.
That's it, man. Well, you know, and that was, when I done that, that's before I had the guru and everything. So, I mean, you know, that was me propping my feet up out there on the trailer, putting a stack of wood beside me. You know, I can, that's how I used to regulate my pit was, is I put my feet, there was a place back there, I could prop my feet up, and they were kind of close to that firebox. And,
yeah.
You know, you stay just far enough away where it don't burn you, but, you know, I could tell as my feet started cooling off, you know, that, you know, I needed to add some more heat to it, some more wood.
That's right.
And that's how I cooked for a long time. I mean, it was all by how hot my leg and my feet were of where my firebox was at.
You're,
it worked pretty good.
And you done thermofeet.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody used to laugh at me and cook all stuff because that's where I'd be all night. I mean, I'd get ready. I'd sit in my chair. I'd have my stack of wood. And that's where I was at. And, you know, man, since I've got the guru, hell, I crawl in the pickup. I go to sleep. I recline. I turn the heater on if it's cold. It's like,
oh, hell yeah.
Hell.
Hell yeah.
Oh, this is tough. Tough.
Yeah, you're yeah, that's shit. Have you ever cooked on anything besides that big old stick burner you've had for a while?
No, I mean, I've cooked on, I mean, you know, when I first started cooking, I mean, I had essentially like a barbecue grill. I mean, it was a piece of steel rolled, and I cooked indirectly, you know, and stuff like that. And then I, for a while, I had one of those, and I still got it, and it's not a bad deal if you're camping and stuff like that. I had a propane, propane vertical type smokers. And, you know, for little things, it's not a bad deal. You know, you can set the damn temperature on it, throw your wood in there, and, you know, same thing. I mean, hell, go do whatever the hell you want because it's going to sit there and maintain temp. And,
right.
But, you know, those were the kind of things, you know. And then, like I said, I mean, I went to stick burning, and I mean, you know, hell, I mean, that's the only thing I know how. I mean, you know, I'd love to cook on the stumps or, you know, something like that, and, you know, just see them, but I've never had them. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I don't know anything about them. Hell, I'd probably burn everything up. And,
yeah.
You know. I just, you know how it is. I mean, you get comfortable with something that's like anything else, like fish and lure or whatever. I mean, if you like spinning reels, and that's what you use. If you like bait casts, I mean, you know, and you know, sometimes you go to finally change over, and I mean, you know, it's, I can remember when I went, because I grew up in New Mexico, and so we trout fished a lot. So spinning reels and stuff like that was, you know, necessary equipment. And, you know, when I moved to Texas and started having to bass fish and stuff, you know, I used spinning reel for a while. But, you know, when you get into worm fish and stuff like that, you know, you need a good bait cast or, you know, something you put some heavier line stuff on. And, man, the backlashes and the more time I spent out there unwinding reels and cutting line off stuff, I was like, this is a bunch of crap. And but, you know, I finally got over that hump, and that's what I use now. I mean, you know, I can operate one. And but, you know, man, it was, you know, that first year, that was hell. I mean, and that's what, you know, that's what I get afraid of about, you know, going to another top cooker. It's like, oh, God, you know, it's a learning curve. And even just putting the guru on it changed a lot about how I cooked. Because I wasn't used to the ups and the downs like I was used to. You know, I was used to more swing. And, you know, hell, I mean, there for a while, man, I was putting briskets on, and damn, briskets were, like, done at 8 o'clock in the morning, and turn it's not till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going, well, shit. Damn. I'm going to have to rest the sandwich for a long time today.
Well, goddamn it, Dutch oven cook, man. Throw some biscuits on. Have some some brisket and biscuits. That's what you did.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
just never
like,
on the end.
Okay.
You know?
We're going to have to change up a little bit. You know, and so now, I mean, I just, you know, it's so much difference because I'm only dealing with about a 30-degree swing, you know, which is,
for a
stick
burner,
that's nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is.
And so, I mean, it's like, wow, 30 degrees. That's all I'm dealing with now. And, I mean, so, you know, it's like chicken. I mean, when I was cooking chicken in the past, half chickens, you know, it was a 4-hour cook for me. You know, hell, now I'm down to like 2, 2.5 hours. And there's times that I get scared that, hell, it might even get done before that. And I'm going, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, slow down, you bastard. So, but, you know, you finally, you kind of get it regulated. And I found out, you know, I have an air hole on one side and then I had the fan on the other. And, I was running my air hole pretty wide open. And I've gotten to where now, you know, especially at night when I'm cooking, I'll shut that air hole down to almost nothing. And there's just enough air off that fan that it will take care of it. And that damn thing evens out. And it don't have as much swing to it. And, I did some briskets here a couple of weeks ago. And it was cold. And I put them on. Oh, I put them on at probably about 7 o'clock at night, and they were probably 14, 15-pound packers. And I wrapped them at about 1:30. I threw some wood in there. It was probably about 2 by the time I got all that done, threw the wood on it. And I went to bed. I got up at 6:30. Briskets done. They're sitting, every one of them sitting at about 2, between 198 and 203. And so
they went on at 1:30?
Do what?
They went on at 1:30?
No, I wrapped them about 1:30.
Okay.
And
I was like, holy shit.
No, I wrapped them about 1:30. They were probably 150, in that, 150, 160.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I put my wood in there, and I wrapped them. And so I went to bed about 2 o'clock that morning, and I got up. So 4.5 hours, the pit was still sitting at 200 degrees, and they, like I said, every brisket was done. I took them in and I sliced them up. I mean, it was sweet. By 7 o'clock, I had them all sliced, and, I mean, I was done.
That's beautiful.
Oh, I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's a lot of sleep for a guy like me.
a stick burner, man. That's a goddamn. Before I switched over to the stumps, I learned to cook on a stick burner, you know? And I thought, I mean, it was a smaller one, but it was the guys out of Georgia, Ben Lang.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's about, even in a little, it's a little, like their smallest cooker, but it's, you know, it's the one I could afford or whatever, so they're 36. It was 4 different temperature zones on that cooker. And I used to set a timer, and I'd just wear it on my belt. It would beep every 50 minutes. Every 50 minutes, you would have to feed that, that fire something.
Yeah.
If your logs weren't burned down, you had to throw a scoop of lump on there. And then, in between the 50, I'd never, leave the house or nothing, but shit, every 20 minutes, you go peek at that dial because, weather conditions change. You could be dealing with something,
Absolutely.
But,
hey, man, we got Chadwick here, too. Let me key him in here before we lose him, and then we'll just keep talking.
Hey, come on, Governor. Come on, Governor Chadwick.
All right, Chadwick, come on, buddy. Am I on? Am I in live? On
you are live.
All right. What's happening, guys?
Tell I'm standing out here freezing my butt off what I'm doing.
Well, I'm riding down the road right now and got the heat on high. It's only 29 degrees here, so we good. We no snow, and we all can't be fortunate enough to live in sunny Florida. go to a big competition this weekend. Let's smoke roll, have a big old time.
Work on your suntan.
I'm telling you, I need to work on my tan. I really do. I'm going to have to find me a tanning bed, I guess, and just look like I'm staying out in the sun.
Well.
What's going on tonight? Tell us something good. Lance, you're in the winter wonderland. It's snow on the ground, and And Blake, he's in sunny Florida, you know, life of leisure in sunny Florida. Been at the cook-off this weekend and rubbing elbows with all the big boys. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Nothing better than that. I mean, that's awesome.
I'm telling you. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, the board's starting to light up. Looks like we got Reeves in tonight, too. Let me log him in here real quick. Hell, it's going to be one of them nights, I guess. Hell.
Oh, mercy.
We're going to get the lives really going tonight. We'll be good to go.
let's chew a little. Let's put it on a little extra thick tonight, then.
Mr. Reeves, you there?
Yeah, I'm around. What's going on, boys?
Telling stories.
I hear it. I tell you what, I'm driving around slipping and sliding here in Lubbock. It's I think Flamey got the brunt of this deal. Lubbock ain't that bad.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I've shoveled snow today just so I could fire my pit up.
You know, it's better than the alternative, shoveling a little of that old proverbial shot. You know, if you shovel that shot, but you'd be glad to shovel snow, Lance. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That old shot. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Well, you know, it's 50 degrees here in Tennessee today. I mean, 45, 50, it's pretty nice, you know. Wasn't short weather, but it was short sleeve weather. And I've got all these turkeys I'm trying to thaw out, man. It's colder outside than it is in the freezer, so I don't know what I'm going to do about trying to get all these birds thawed out.
That's what I'm saying. That's my problem. I'm going to have to take the propane torch to them, I guess. I'm going to light me a couple of turkeys, I guess, what I'm going to do. Do a little beer can chicken with a propane torch.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Well, we're gonna take some pictures. We're gonna take some pictures and post quite a few of this big turkey experiment I'm gonna have going on here in the next few days. We've got I don't know how many turkeys to do and hams and I'm actually thinking about going and getting a couple briskets and doing me some Texas style brisket. I want briskets.
There you go.
I don't care about everybody else, but I want some briskets. So,
yeah, I've got a few briskets today. I don't have a bunch of briskets today. I've got several hams, and I've got a couple of big-ass ice chests full of damn turkey right now.
Yeah.
I had a friend bring me a
chest freezer. We cleaned it out, defrosted it, and using it as a cooler, and boy, it really looks good at the house. I've got these pits setting up in the driveway, and I've got a big chest freezer. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm glad I don't have any neighbors for about a mile each way.
You can leave turkeys just out on the hood of your car and love it tonight and not worry about them.
Yeah, they'll still be froze.
It's 24 degrees in Lubbock right now. That's what my vehicle's showing.
Well, it's 29 right here now, I'm telling you. What is it in Florida, Blake?
All right, I got to be honest, guys. It rained last night. Now we were in flip flops yesterday, but it rained last night. Cold fronts come through, and I just put y'all on mute a second ago. So I asked the wife. It's a low of the high 40s tonight. So
y'all bless your heart.
I'm wearing gloves outside. And I'm wearing some long pants, and we got our winter clothes out because it's the high 40s, and that's the low. That's our winter clothes.
What would you do if it hit about 18, 20 degrees? Y'all would be cold.
Shit, just build a bigger fire.
I'm telling you, throw another log on that fire. Well, you know, I'm going to inside. I hadn't even turned my central heat on yet. I mean, their house is not cold. It's about 67 degrees inside, and no need in turning the heat on if it's not going to be any colder than this.
Well, my heat's been on.
Mine has, too. I got my fireplace going.
Well, I ain't trying to lit the fireplace. I'm going to save my wood to burn out here in this pit.
Yeah, save your firewood for your pit. Yeah.
Yeah, I say, yeah, I mean, shit. Yeah. Hell, I mean, man, I tell you what, it's cloudy here, dark. Looks like it'll go to snowing again any second. And for one thing, the wind's calm, so, you know, thank goodness we ain't got a bunch of wind. Because I tell you what, it's a miserable son of a bitch around here if the wind's blowing with all this.
Oh, mercy. What are we going to do, boys? We're going to have to tough this cold weather out. I mean,
I'm ready to go to the cook-off myself.
Huh? Well, we've got a snow already, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Now, everybody I've talked to in the last 24 hours, these farmers and stuff, my brother-in-law does a lot of stuff with farmers and stuff. They're already, I don't know if they're counting the chickens for the hatch or not, but they're already saying if it's snow on the ground before Thanksgiving, it's always a wet winter.
Oh, that's all we need.
So, I'm sure that's we're all, you know, excited about that.
I can tell. I can feel the excitement in your voice.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, and that's the bad thing about it. I mean, we really do need the moisture up here. And, you know, the other side of this, I'll tell you one thing that and I guess you can fault me on this, John, but, you know, the one thing that I'm kind of thankful that this may have just taken care of is a damn fly situation we've had.
Oh, they've been horrible.
So, you know, if they've lived through this, there's some bad flies out here now.
You left the land.
Because they have been bad this year. Man, they've been bad. And that's one thing about that. I am pretty happy about that part of it. Now, the rest of it I can do without. Mm. The other side of it is, thank goodness, it's a short week this week, too, with Thanksgiving. So I ain't got to work at this stuff too long this week.
Yeah.
You know.
Fellas, I hate it, but I'm going to have to bow out. I just thought I'd call in and give you all hell for a minute.
Gentlemen, I know what you're saying. I'm going to, too. I just got home, and I've got supper to finish up, and I wanted to call in and say what's up. I heard Blake on, and Lance, you doing a great job, and I just want to call in and say hi, guys. Hope y'all have a great
night.
Well,
y'all hang around. Well, you guys will hang around. I've got Roy's in the house. All right. Y'all have a good evening. Thanks for calling, boys.
Good night.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay. Good night.
Okay.
See you, Chris.
All right. Well, let me log in. Looks like we've got Roy here, so we can get him in here. Is that you, Mr. Powell?
Hey, what's going on, Lance?
Hey, man, not much. You just missed Chadwick and Reeves, and we got Moody in the house tonight. I guess you're still over in the eastern part of the United States, aren't you? Or are you back home now?
Oh, no. I'm still in Virginia for another about 3 weeks or so, I guess. 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. I graduate school on December 17th, so I'm still here for a while.
Well, I've been watching some of your posts. I know you've been trying to look a little barbecue out that way, and I know that look like you and your wife are going to be having a little talk about a OSU and stuff this week.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a rough 2 weeks until that game.
Yeah, I seen that you talked a little bit about that, and I was like, I was kind of laughing. I thought, there's got to be more to that story.
Oh yeah, she posted last night. I went to bed early. I didn't watch all the game last night. I can probably say it here because she'll probably never hear it, but I was actually rooting for Baylor last night. You know, kind of bad, you know, when I can't root for the other, you know, home state team, but she gives me heck all the time. But, you know, it's just one of them football things, and it'll always be like that. So
That's good. That's good. Huh? You know, it's always good to have a little rivalry around. And,
oh,
yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, well, tell us a little bit about, like I said, I know you've eaten some barbecue and stuff up there. So, why don't you, we're just going to give you that critic standpoint out there. Tell us what you've done and what you like, what you don't like, and how about that?
Well, I've only eaten one place. Day before Veterans Day, we ventured up to Arlington Cemetery and stuff, which is very remarkable during, you know, Veterans Day and stuff like that, which I've never been myself. But, you know, right down the road about 10, 15 minutes from there, you know, Alexandria, Virginia is there, and that's where Pork Barrel Barbecue, you know, where they got their restaurant at. So me and a couple of my classmates, I said, hey, said, you know, said, I got this barbecue restaurant want to go eat at, and they're all game for barbecue. So he said, yeah, why not? So we ventured over there and ate lunch there at Pork Barrel. I can't remember what the big plate that I had, but it was consisted of a big pulled pork sandwich, about four St. Louis style ribs, and three big humongous sides. So it was very good.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, you know, if anybody ever, you know, ventures this way, you know, you got to stop in and say hello and you know, grab a bite to eat there. It's a very, I like how, you know, the inside was set up. We sat at the bar and stuff, and you could actually go and order your meal there in the little walk-up, you know, ordering part, or you can actually order there at the bar, too, and they'll bring everything out to you.
Wow.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
So. Well, you know, you were kind of, now, Tuffy's place is kind of over in that area, too, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got four restaurants here in Richmond. I'm going to go probably in the next couple weeks. I'm going to go. There's some other guys up here that I met in another class, and they want to go eat. And I told them that once a couple weeks, you know, comes and stuff like that, I'll let them know and go hit up Q Barbecue. I actually hit up one of his restaurants last year whenever I was here at school, and it was really good. So I've got to go back and maybe hit that one up or hit another one up here in Richmond.
Good deal.
Hey, Roy, you said he's got four in Richmond?
Yes, he does. Yep.
How big is Richmond?
It's pretty good size. It's all spread out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, I'm like, wouldn't one chain compete against the other chain? If he tried to McDonald's that thing or what?
No, they're actually spread out pretty good. I was here last year, I think he had three open, and he was getting ready to open up another one before I left.
Yeah, those comp guys, you know, Pork Barrel, Tuffy Stone, out here in Jacksonville, just south of Jacksonville where I live, buddy of mine, Gary Park, the comp cooks, you know, that doesn't surprise me that, you know, Tuffy's got four, you know, in the same city, so, you know, they can keep an eye on them, make sure the quality's there, but, they'll pump out some pretty fine Q.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one we walked into last year whenever I was here, you walk in, it's, you know, it's really not a very big place. It's set up really nice. It's the one in Midlothian, kind of a suburb part, you know, here in Richmond, is where we ate at. And it's, It's in a strip mall on the very corner of it. You can go outside, little patio that he's got set up. He's got two smokers set up right behind the counter that you can actually watch, you know, put meat in, take meat out. Gives you, you know, that feel of, you know, being able to look at what's being cooked whenever you walk in.
What's he cooking on the restaurant?
You know, I can't remember what it is, but off the top of my head. But whenever I go in the next couple of weeks, I'll go in and find out.
I figured it'd probably be something like an old hickory or something with the kind of volume and stuff that they have to do.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
You know, of course, I say that, you know, I said I've got a buddy right here in Plainview. I mean, you know, he's up to about 64 briskets a week, and he cooks them on two stick burners, two offsets, two old propane tanks converted. I mean, he'll cook everything there. All he does is chicken, his ribs, brisket, and everything else. And it amazes me every time I watch him do it. And so, you know, that's a lot of beef that goes through there. Of course, I say that. I mean, hell, it's like Franklin, you know, everything they do is offsets, and John Lewis and all them guys, you know, all them boys down around offsets, they all run offsets. So, you know, I guess it's a little more common than we think. But, you know, I don't know. If I was doing that, I don't know. I might have to go to an old hickory or something because I sure like a little more sleep.
Yeah. Well, there's a kind of a small place out here right outside of Fort Lee, and one of my NCOs, small group leaders here, he said that on Tuesday or Wednesday night they have all-you-can-eat ribs. So, a little barbecue shack right outside one of the gates here, and I thought, well, I might have to go check that out before I leave, too.
There you go, man. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been able to cook it much, but I'll go eat it.
Now, Roy, come on, man. You're a comp cook. Just tell these boys that you do pro barbecue.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, they'll find you a tank, and they'll find a welder. They'll make you something. Guaranteed.
Oh, I know.
Tell them what you do. Don't be modest. Just tell them what you do.
There's actually, this is the school up here for the welders for the Army, too, so.
Oh, come on. Right there, man.
Yep.
There's a project right there.
Come on, Rebel Pal.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, could have done it last year whenever I had more time, but, you know, 2 months is kind of a short and quick time up here this time.
Yeah. I mean, I built my whole trailer in 2.5 weekends, so, you know, heck. I mean, you got several guys down there to weld, so like that, I mean, no big deal.
Yeah.
Hey, you know they think about making a barbecue pit anyway if they're welders, boy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm telling you. More than a couple of them, I guarantee.
Well, I'm sure there's some 55-gallon barrels running. You can do some UDS or something out there.
Yeah, just something small. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And throw it in the back of my truck whenever I'm heading back home.
There you go. I mean, I guarantee you probably start making some money there pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I know, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like my brother-in-law, you know, he was in the Navy, and, you know, and for a while I didn't know he was doing this, but, you know, when he was in the Navy, he was on a fast-tack sub. He was on the USS Topeka, and he's a nuclear guy, and I used to send him jerky, and hell, I kind of found out after he got it kind of Navy and everything, hell, he was selling that stuff. I was like, shit, we could have been making even better money, damn it, if I'd known you were doing this. Yeah. He said, yeah. He said, man, he said, they'd hit me up. He said, when we get on the boat, he said, that was the most popular thing. He said, cigarettes and jerky. he says you can make $1 million if you had it. He'd go buy stuff just to sell it on the, you know, they'd run out of stuff and they'd want it. He'd make money. And I was like, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's, you know, I've got my logo on the back end of my, you know, my truck window and stuff like that, and I've got people back at Fort Carson, you know, talking about barbecue and stuff like that, and trying to get, you know, my name out there a little bit, and people want me to cook, and so best
well,
way to get
there
out there, word of mouth, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that's and that's it. I mean, you know, it don't take long. I mean, you know, someone eats your stuff, and, I mean, you know, they're like, damn, that was so damn good. And it gets around. I mean, it gets around. I mean, and, you can find yourself having to take off from your regular job to take care of this one some days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I wish I could do that all the time, but.
Yeah, I'll say you're doing
pretty limited. Yep.
Yeah. You know, well, what you need to do is you just need to make a deal with the Chow guys over there. You know, say, hey, you know, we just need to serve barbecue.
Yeah. Well, it's I actually I got a new first sergeant a few months back and stuff, and he enjoys barbecue. He cooks it, you know, himself, and so he you know, I kind of gave him some tips and stuff because he said he had a hard time not, you know, whenever he cooks ribs and stuff, you know, having blackened ribs, and so I gave him a few techniques and said it, you know, worked really good. And so, you know, this next year he wants to know whenever I do competitions because he wants to come up and see what that's all about. I said, it's a blast.
Yep. Hey, now, Roy, now I know y'all are military men and you have your, you know, chain of command and whatnot, but you tell him when you're on the barbecue grill and you're going to give him tips, he will salute you. You understand? He is your superior. And he is the big fish. You tell him that's the way it is. And he, you know, he better show his respect.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'll do respect, sir. You know.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Especially
when
you burn his ribs. You'll show him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you tell him that. I mean, that's like corporal punishment right there, burning ribs. I mean.
Yeah.
Get him a Section 8 or something. You know.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to get good with my chain of command so I can get a lot of these Fridays off, you know.
Yeah.
Barbecue, yeah. Brother. There's your ticket right there. There's your ticket.
That's it, man. That is it. You know, that's the thing. I mean, all that stuff, you know. It is amazing, you know, when you start doing that kind of stuff, and, you know, just like I said, even in the military and stuff, but, you know, it's amazing, you know, how much, you know, things can kind of change around, you know, a place like that, you know, being able to do some of that stuff, and, heck, I mean, you know, I kind of like those things, you know, it's like, you know, I said, it's like when we were out there in Vegas, you know, and we stopped at that, you know, the Hoover Dam. And, you know, of course, we hadn't had much sleep, and, you know, so I'm not paying attention to things real closely. And I missed the first set of a security guard, you know, flagging us over to go somewhere else, because that second set, I mean, he was ready to eat ass. And he's like, didn't you see me move you over that? No, I really didn't. Sorry, sir. And he's like, now you go over here. Yes, sir. Okay. Sorry. And, mm-hmm. you know, then guys, like, I get out, and they're like, can we look inside your pit? I'm like, oh, sure. You know, and I'm sitting there for a few minutes, and I'm thinking, you know, hell, this is stupid. I mean, you know, I've wandered off in here. I've got my cooker. And, you know, and we had all this barbecue. And I finally looked at the boys. They asked me, he said, well, what are you doing with this cooker? I said, well, we're up here in a competition. So we talked for a couple minutes. I said, well, hell. I said, you guys want some barbecue? Oh, no, you don't have to do that, sir. And I was like, I've got a whole bunch of it right here. You're more welcome to it. And they're like,
yeah.
Really? And I'm like, yeah. And, hell, I mean, we come back, hell, I mean, them guys were all high five, thumbs up. You know, hell, hell, a hell of a lot different when I come back through.
Give you
like,
first-class treatment whenever you're going through.
Yeah, like, yeah. Remember me next time when I come through here, I got good barbecue. Just remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, it was amazing the demeanor, how much it changed in that 45 minutes, an hour we were there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Them yep. boys were all just sitting down on their chairs. They were propped back, and they were eating barbecue, and they're like, hell, life's good now. It's amazing how things change. So, you know, those are good things. Though. I mean, those are good things about that stuff. So, you know, well, hopefully we'll get Roy down this way next year. And,
Texas barbecue. I'm planning on it. I actually had a conversation with John Reeves the other night on Chris's show. So we're going to try to come down for the Red Raider meet contest.
Uh huh.
Next year, me and him kind of made a friendly bet, you know. So, yeah, it'll probably be my first contest, you know, from competing IBCA. I'll probably, you know, finish dead last. But, you know,
Roy,
I kind of made
Roy.
A bet with them.
Hey, no, see, this is the nice thing about IBCA. You don't know who finishes dead last. If you don't finish in the top 10, you just, you know, you're just out there, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
so see.
Well, you finished 11th if you didn't finish in the top 10. You know? You must have finished 11.
Okay. Well, I told him, said, whoever, you know, finishes better than the other person, we've got to wear the other, you know, I've got to wear a Texas Tech shirt or he's got to wear my Oklahoma shirt. So.
Well, now, I'm all for watching him have to wear an Oklahoma shirt, so I guess I know where I'm going to stand on this deal.
Yeah, Roy, is that Oklahoma or LSU?
No, that's Oklahoma.
Okay.
University of Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, there
is
no
pretty good.
There is no steak that comes out of my mouth.
So I will be able to exploit this around here, them having to wear an Oklahoma shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like this idea. You just come see me if you need some help.
Hell
we'll
yeah.
just get this taken care of.
Yeah, Roy, you need a Texan in Texas. Call Lance.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you just holler at me. I'll try to help make sure this happens.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
See, that's how we work this, you know. Sorry, Reeves, but you've been done. Yeah. That's the way it has happened. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Too bad he had to get off the phone, but
even
better.
He's missing out on this deal now that he's being taken care of.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and what would be really good is if we could get him like an Oklahoma T-shirt that's in pink or something. That'd be even better.
Oh,
half
yeah,
shirt.
I could come up with
half
one.
Shirt too.
Half shirt,
hey,
yep.
Yeah.
Show the,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Show the midriff.
That's it, by golly. Now we're talking, see.
Mm-hmm, yep.
See,
I don't
have any stake in this other than to help you to take care of this. So, I mean, this is it. I mean, this is great.
I mean, we didn't, you know, make the bet on what size it was or anything like that or how short the shirt was or if it was a girl shirt. And, mm-hmm.
Might have to put Reeves in a bikini. instead of smoking X on the old bikini, it might just have to be Oklahoma.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Hey. Wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we could do him up well. Let's
see. Man, I
tell
you,
yeah,
he, he's a hell of a fan, too. You know, this man's such a fan. He builds his barbecue show as, yeah, we're going to talk some Texas Tech football too.
Oh yeah,
He puts that in the description. So, shit, the bragging rights alone, that's a deep burn right there.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you,
well,
I think him having to sit up there in the stands and miss two would be even better.
Yeah. Well, you know. It would be really rough, and I would have to cook my butt off. And I'm glad that it's not a Texas University shirt. So,
well, yeah, could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Oh yeah, yep. Yeah, it is about second worst behind Texas A&M, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna say yeah. There you go. A&M's another one. Good God.
I tell you what, hey, that they won't be worth a shit after next. After this year. That's my prediction.
I really didn't think, you know, I think they lost yesterday, too, I believe.
Yeah, they
did.
Yeah, they played LSU yesterday? Yeah,
they played LSU. Well, thinking. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, see, my neighbor down here, one of my good buddies, you know, he's a huge, huge, and, of course, he went to A&M. He's a huge A&M fan, so. You know, I like to jack with him because, you know, old Johnny Football. You know, that's you know, they all you know thought he was pretty tough, but I think things are happening.
No, it's not going to happen to him. It's I don't know about, you know, the Heisman race now. Johnny Football, he's down. Went downhill. The Oregon quarterback, running back, went downhill after losing yesterday. You know, Baylor quarterback went downhill now since they got beat. So,
yeah.
We might have to look at San Diego State or somebody.
Nah, fellas, our rival. See, I'm, you know, proud Florida Gator. I'm not proud of being a Florida Gator. I'm just saying that's my team. Our rival Florida State, man, their quarterback's in some deep doo-doo, looks like.
Yep.
I don't know if you heard about that, but he's been shooting at the club.
Yeah, well, he's out of it too, so I don't know who the Heisman's going to go to. It might go to the water boy of some team somewhere.
Well,
yeah, I don't give a shit for Texas A&M. You know, Johnny Manziel, he is fun to watch, I'll tell you that. But anyway, it seems like he's a good scrambler. But man, he just chunks it up, and number 13 brings it in.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, that shit ain't gonna work at the next level.
No,
and that you know, that's just me watching on the couch, you know. I'm not a scout or nothing, but I'm thinking he's got some good numbers, but he's a good scrambler. I'll give him that. Like I said, he'll be gone next year. Y'all won't have to worry about A&M anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I kind of figured somebody would take him out this year. What I really kind of figured would happen, you know, with all the other trash and everything else that's going on, I figured someone would be looking out there to you know, be the guy on that kind of thing, you know, to unthrone him, but it hadn't happened. So, you know, of course, that's, you know, when I played ball in high school, so I think, you know, that's kind of the way it was. I mean, hell, you had some really good quarterback in there. Hell, that's all I thought about was,
hell yeah.
You know,
hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
what
does that boy weigh, too? What does Johnny Manziel weigh, 160? He looks pretty small. 160? Soaking wet.
Yeah.
Probably.
All right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, that would see. I just, you know, no. That was always my thing. I mean, You know, I always played defensive tackle in school. And the kids, they put me in as defensive end a couple of times. And I wasn't taking care of anything else on the line. I pretty well took care of, I mean, I was heading for a quarterback. And I loved to get a hold of quarterbacks. And
hell yeah.
I just, you know. All right, yeah, you go ahead, receiver. You just go ahead and run your butt out there because the ball's probably not going to get to you if I can get over here where I want to be. Now that was one thing I loved to do. I loved quarterbacks, but yeah, one of those things. I mean, things are a lot different nowadays, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
Shit, now you can't hit them.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, no, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, and I had a problem with that in high school. You know, we had that situation, too. You know, we had a situation where, you know, we had a, you know, quarterback, and then, you know, Mickey wasn't too bad. I mean, he wasn't too bad a quarterback, but the thing was is his older two brothers had played quarterback for the same school, so, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, I automatically am going to be the quarterback because, you know, my brother's done it. And, you know, it wasn't so much that he was bad, but, I mean, it was just that arrogance that, you know, come in there. And, man, we went round and around. And, you know, after we got out of high school stuff, we got along pretty good. But, I mean, man, we went to blows a few times. And, you know, I had a serious issue with not being able to hit the quarterback. I mean, you know, the rest of us out there getting banged up, beat up, and knocked around, and you know they couldn't. Well, they were the ones who needed to learn how to take it, because they were the ones who had to pick their butts up. And you know, that's what we had to do. And you know, I thought, you know, that's, you know, I always had a problem with that. That, you know, they shouldn't be hit and things like that. You know, it's kind of like roughing a kicker.
You know, act like he ain't a football player just because
yeah,
he's kicked.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. Okay, so my leg's up in the air. Well,
shit,
you can't
hit the leg.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it is. It's football. It's contact. You know, yeah. Things are going to happen. I mean, that's just part of it. You know?
No, I know. It's. I thought, you know, with this new year, this year's new ruling on targeting and stuff like that, that kind of getting ridiculous on it, you know.
Yeah, targeting. Yeah, well, because, I mean, man, I would have never made it because I had a target every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, hell, he might just put me on the bench because every time that ball was snapped, I had an objective.
I tell you,
yeah.
since years ago when Tom Brady went down, and I think it was maybe the first game of the year, or maybe it was a preseason game, but he went down like one of the real early in the year with a knee injury. Ever since then, they've been trying to tell these, you know, great athletes of the NFL, you know, give them like the smallest little strike zone, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and finding guys like I can't say his first name, Ndamukong Suh or whatever, just because he's out there being a beast, you know. I mean, yeah, he's gonna do some dirty shit, but yeah, he's a football player. It's football, you know. Like,
yeah.
And you see kids nowadays, and you know, you drive by the park and they're playing. It's like organized flag football.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm going to be honest, like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Is that football? Call that soccer.
Well,
call it soccer. Call
yeah.
it what it is, it's soccer.
I don't know if you guys have seen the video with this high school player that's like 400 pounds, and they put him in to run the football like, you know, refrigerator used to back in the, you know, the Bears day and stuff. But some people saying that that's a little too much to put a 400-pound guy in as a running back against the all the other small, you know, players on defense and stuff, somebody's going to get hurt.
Ah, someone's going to get hurt. It's football.
Yeah. My freshman year in high school, guys, I had a offensive tackle, John Duran, weighed 275. He was about 5'8", 275. I think my freshman year, I played defensive tackle. I was 165 as a freshman. And we played a game in Cuban Carry, New Mexico. And we were up like 60 points. I mean, it was pretty bad. And we started putting in linemen for fullbacks. And it was hilarious to watch them because, you know, these guys are not real, real fast. I mean, you know, they're fast, but they're not fast. And I mean, them guys could not do anything but boys. And but you know what? I mean, that's what they needed. They needed some of that. They needed to learn how to take down them big boys because, you know, that was the difference. I mean, where I come from, I mean, we dealt with that stuff every day. I mean, you know, I weigh 165 pounds. I went up against a 275-pound guy every day in practice. And, I mean,
yeah.
I learned how to deal with him. I mean, you know, and that's the thing nowadays. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, look at how these guys tackle and how well this is done. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, they don't even know how to grab somebody and knock them down. I mean, you know, most of the time, people run out of bounds nowadays. You know, there's more out of bounds stuff than it is tackling anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just, no. Now, you know, of course, you know, then there's all this concussion stuff and everything. Of course, I had several of those when I was in school. And, you know, I'm still fairly lucid, you know. I see stars every now and then, but, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, that's all good. You know, shake your head around a little bit and you're good to go. You know,
yeah.
Of course, I mean, you know, hell, I mean, you know, I'm sure it is a bad thing. And I'm sure there's probably going to be, you know, there'll probably be things when I get older that, you know, will, you know, will be bad. I probably won't remember.
Yeah. Yep.
But, I mean, you know, hell, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, and hell, you look at the equipment and stuff now these guys got. I mean, it's kind of like rodeoing. And, you know, I grew up rodeoing, too. And it's kind of that side of it, too. I mean, hell, look at bull riders now. Hell, they got helmets on. They got padding. I mean, hell, we never did any of that stuff. And, I mean, we got mangled, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, nowadays, I mean, they've got so much protection that, you know, hell, it ain't a big deal. I mean, you know, you don't hear about a lot of cowboys getting screwed up anymore and stuff like that because, hell, they've got so much damn protection that, you know, hell, they don't have to worry about it. You know, that's the problem with society is that, you know, we protect everybody too much. And then, you know,
yeah.
We end up with it, you know. It's like two-a-days, you know. When I was in school, two-a-days was rough. I mean, you know, that was a hell of a damn deal. It's like going to, like,
the puke
boys
fest.
Boy, boot camp and, I mean, you know.
It was a puke
yeah.
fest.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And nowadays you can't do that shit. You know? And, I mean, I guess, you know, I'd be like, you know, you guys going to boot camp and, you know, well, you know, hell, we can't run boot camp from 10 o'clock in the morning till after dark, you know. It's just too
hot.
Oh,
yeah. It'll, believe me, basic training, you know, even though I did go through basic training and 2003, it is so much different now than what it was back whenever I went through. They have to sugarcoat everything that whenever they talk to the recruits and stuff anymore. And it's we can see the difference between, you know, getting you know, new soldiers in. The way that they treat them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, I still like watching the damn show every now and then, old Full Metal Jacket. I mean. I mean, I'm sorry, that's one of them classics. I mean, God almighty.
It's, you know, the funny thing about that is they were showing that movie the night that I went into a reception for basic training.
Really?
Yeah, yep, it was on. That's what they do for new recruits coming in. They play that part of the movie and stuff. So,
are you shitting me, boy?
Yeah.
See, I mean, that's the deal. I mean, you know, well, I'll give you one. You know, I've been kind of involved in the thing here, and you know, it's fixing to go. You know, we're fixing to go here, you know, on a filming and stuff, and my logo become an issue. My team logo was going to become an issue with it.
To who?
Filming it.
To who?
Everybody. Everybody nowadays.
Everybody.
It's being filmed. For a network. And,
yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, they're like, well, you're going to have to take your Indian out of your logo. And I was like, why? Oh, well, we can't have that. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. And, you know, I finally, you know, it's something that I've never really talked about much or anything. I mean, but I do have, you know, I do have Indian in me. And I finally told them, I said, look, mm-hmm. I said, I am Indian. And they're like, oh, you are? And I said, well, I said, you know that. And I said, I'm contacting my attorney, too. But, you know, yes, I am Indian. And I said, I do have enough Indian in me to technically register and to claim rights. I never have. Don't plan on it. But, I mean, you know, that's what we've been there. And, you know, they're like, well, let me get back to you. And I told them about an hour or so later. You know, I get a phone call. It's like, okay, no, you're good. I'm like, really? That's all it took.
Wow.
I'm like, well, yep. You know, they may ask you about it. And I said, well, I said, they can ask me about it. I said, it's not something that I'm not proud about. I mean, it is part of my ancestry and stuff. But, I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You have to go to something to that nature to do that. But, I mean, you know, I said, you're fixing to cost me. I said, essentially, this would be like Coca-Cola taking their name off of their red can. And I said, I don't know that I'm willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, this is the thing that we are now. I mean, you can't use the word redneck on TV. You can't.
Would you call me Lance?
Yeah, by
would
God,
you call
redneck.
Me?
You damn gator chaser.
You got me.
You know, I mean, it's things like that. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, you know, they talk about the First Amendment stuff like that. Well, hell, that is part of it. I mean, hell, let's get real about it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like we are rednecks. I mean, we are, you know.
Indians.
Yeah, yep. We are Indians.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things. I mean, that's what made this country. That's why it was such a smelting pot, because there was all of us. And, I mean, you know, it's not a racial thing. It don't have to be a racial thing. Everybody's made it a racial thing. And it don't have to be. I mean, it's just who we are, and that's what's made this great country. You know?
Yeah, they're acting like a damn Indian never built a fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, y'all stupid
you
motherfuckers.
Know.
You know what I mean?
Know.
You're saying an Indian never built a fire. Really? Really?
Yeah.
It's like, you mean the original Americans never built a fire?
Yeah.
That's what the logo looks like, you know?
Well, I mean, and that was it. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, that was the whole deal. It didn't have anything about being, that had nothing to do with me being Indian. It had nothing to do with that. I always thought it was kind of a cool thing because we were in West Texas. This was the Old West in a lot of ways. And, you know,
yeah.
Smoke signals was a big part of it. And, you know, me putting on there, Half Smoker Will Travel, was off of another you know, and no one's ever, I guess, you know, they don't even think about that. But, I mean, hell, that was off of one of the best Western shows out there.
Yep.
You know, Have Gun, Will Travel. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I always thought that was kind of a neat thing, is that, you know, it just kind of, it was kind of a correlation in a little different way. But, I mean, that's where I come up with that. And, you know, it had nothing to do with anything else. I mean, you know, I was looking for something unique, but, you know, still was, you know, where I come from, you know, as far as, you know, this is, you know, there were lots of Indians and stuff around here. I mean, it's West Texas. I mean, hell, I mean, we are a bunch of damn rednecks. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean,
well, look at Oklahoma. That's what most of Oklahoma was, so.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
One of the biggest, you know, Indians there was Geronimo. Where's he from? Oklahoma.
Well, he is now. He wasn't originally from Oklahoma.
No, no.
They drove his ass over there.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But, I mean, you know,
bunch
that's
body
it.
Snatchers.
Body sensors. But you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's where we're at nowadays, is that, you know, hell, I mean, you know, and it's kind of like what we were talking about the other day. I mean, to take this back to the barbecue side of it is, you know, it's like we're talking about catering and stuff the other day. You know, in the perception, you know, they say, well, you're a barbecue cook and you are a redneck and, you know, and, you know, you don't know how to make, you know, fine food. You know, you can't cook for, you know, people with, you know, the fine dining experience, and that's just changing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we can show them, is that we can do more shit than just, you know, what they think.
Well, I saw the episode, what was it, last week, you know, on Chopped, you know, Redemption with Kent Rollins. I mean, if anybody looks at him, you know, it wears his cowboy hat no matter where he goes, cooks, you know, but he's throwing up these, you know, real nice dishes and stuff, so.
Sure.
Yeah, anybody can do it.
That's it. I mean, we're cooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have culinary skills.
Cooking,
I mean, it may not be, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, you know, and that's for, you know, that's where I kind of went that day. It's like, you know, hell, you want some kind of fine dining experience? I'll give you a fine dining experience. Hell, and I'm going to bring it to your house. You know, you don't have to go to a restaurant to get this. I mean, you know.
And put on a show.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean.
You know, we're not Neanderthals where we go out back, kill a cow, and slap it on the, you know, on the grill real quick and cook up a meal. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of barbecue cooks out there that's got actual, you know, culinary experience.
Credentials, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's what people, you know, and I think that's part of it. I mean, I think that's starting to, you know, people are starting to see that a little bit more. But, I mean, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, Those things are changing. I mean, they are, and I mean, people are starting to notice it. And you know, hell, I mean, if they want some kind of fancy party or something like that, hell, we can do it too. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, heck, I mean, you know, we can make it look fancy. We can cook some finer things. I mean, hell, I mean, you know, it's like prime rib. I mean, hell, prime rib is one of those things that are regarded, you know, to most people. You know, considered fine dining. And hell, who cooks more of that kind of stuff than anybody is people like us.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, stereotyping and, you know, all this and that, I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. And I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, we see it in sports, we see it in what we do, and we see it, you know, work, and I mean, it's just, it's everywhere, and it's ridiculous that, you know, things have gone this way. I mean, you know,
But I think people are finally starting to figure out that there's more to it than just what, you know, they see on the outside there. And, I think it's more, just look at TV and stuff. I mean, it's like barbecue and stuff. I mean, look how popular it's gotten now. I mean, it is a mainstream, it's becoming a mainstream thing. And, hell, I'm all for it. I mean, I hope they do more and more and more and but they need to keep it to where, you know, it is, tasteful, I guess would be the word I'm going to use for that. I mean, you know, that's the thing is, and not give that persona of all this other crap that is out there, give them the respect that they deserve. I mean, anybody, whatever they do, I mean, they deserve the respect. I mean, if they're good at it, they're professional about it, they deserve to be, treated, with that respect.
That's why I called in the other day when you were pricing out your catering gig.
Mm-hmm.
Is I was challenging you to tell me that when people try your food, that their eyes don't roll back into their head.
Well, absolutely. And that was the deal. I mean, I wanted to kind of get it out there because I wanted to kind of see because, we all have those perceptions and like I said, it's kind of back to that stereotyping again. I mean, we're in a very rural area, and, it's a little more conservative out here in this part. But, on the other side of it is that, you're not cooking, for the average person either. I mean, you're cooking for people that do have some money, and they're wanting a first-class meal. I mean, and so, that's why I threw that out there, because I wanted to see. I mean, and we ended up going. I mean, those plates for that night are like $71 a plate. Woo! They increased. I mean, I started out with 25 people. Now we're up to 30 people. So, that's the thing. I mean, absolutely. How do you like that, Roy? $71 a plate.
Roy, and, hey, have them welders make you a grill. Listen to Lance more. Did you hear that money?
I hear that.
Come on, baby.
But I mean, might
pay for my gas back home.
Here's the thing about
come
that.
On.
We're going to do a 20-ounce bone-in ribeye cowboy steak. We're going to do a loaded baked potato, bacon-wrapped asparagus. I'm doing two tiger prawns for the appetizer, bacon-wrapped and stuffed. That's a pretty good-sized appetizer there. And then we're doing creme brulee for dessert. Right there for them, on site. And, everything but the creme brulee. I mean, I've got to have nothing to do that part of it. But everything else will be prepared right there on site for them. And, if they want to come out there and stand by the fire and shoot the bull and watch it cook, it's all right there. I mean, it's kind of like that Japanese steakhouse type, audience. I mean, they can see whatever's going on. And, they wanted prime. I mean, they wanted the best steaks, I went to Raider Red Meats, and, those are dry-aged, probably 45 to 50-day dry-aged ribeyes. And, that's what they were looking for. I mean, I'm cooking for these people all weekend. I mean, I'm cooking, like I said, I'm doing beef ribs and, baby backs on Friday night for them. I'm doing a cowboy breakfast for them Saturday morning. I'm doing their Saturday night supper. I'm doing their Sunday morning breakfast, and then I'm doing a lunch for them, a brisket lunch for them. So I'm cooking five different meals for these people all weekend.
Yep.
And... this is where this stuff's going, and I mean, this is the thing. I mean, this right here is the future.
and you can kind of get in with these guys like this, and you do that. I mean, the word of mouth alone is huge right there on something like that. You know, so you know that's what I'm saying. I mean, you gotta kind of take the stops out. I mean, kind of go out there. And I mean, and there's people out there willing to pay that they want those kind of meals, and to bring that kind of meal to them. You know, hell, I mean, that's just, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's kind of that personal chef and you know, type deal. I mean, you know, well, hell, I mean, us barbecue guys can do that too.
Mm-hmm. And Lance, I'm going to be honest. I mean, you've done well on the Sam's Club and the IBCA circuit. Like, this ain't nothing you've never done before. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, you were doing a, you know, bone and ribeye. It's like, I mean, what they charge at damn Roost Chris for some bullshit, damn it, and they get to, like, you know, see it done right in front of them, and you know, like you said, man, people are into barbecue, and they want to see it. You know, just like Roy, they look to Roy for he's a barbecue guy. You know,
yep.
Like where, you know, he's done some comps. You know, where does he want to go to, you know, go eat lunch? And, I mean, you're going to blow some minds out there, you know?
Well, and that's the deal. I mean, we're going to take it to the next notch. We're going to go there. I mean, we're going to do that. I mean, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, that's where you guys and me, like that, I mean, we can make good money doing that kind of stuff. And, I mean, you're not having to cook for a huge bunch of people. You can kind of go in there and, you know, cook for those dinner party type stuff, too. Go out there and set up and do those things. And, I mean, you know, hell, give them a first-class meal. And, you know, whatever the hell they want. I mean, you know, now we may not be doing, you know, lasagnas and things like that, you know, with what we have, but I mean, you know, prime ribs, smoked beef tenderloins, you know, cowboy ribeyes. I mean, you know, there's lots of fancy food out there that people go and eat at fancy restaurants that we can prepare with what we've got and what we do, and put it on out there, put on a nice show, and I guarantee you, it's better than what they'll get in most restaurants.
And you're damn right, because I'm telling you, as we, you know, on a Friday night at a barbecue competition, you know, we're making the best brisket in the entire city. And the stuff we're doing, you know, in our sleep, sitting around drinking, you know, when the Blue Mountains get on the Coors Light, that's, you know, I mean, Lance, you did that.
Yeah.
You know, 20, 30 times this freaking year, that's a big freaking deal. But, you know, to someone else that hadn't seen that, I just you know, you just welcome them into your world a little bit. And, I mean, shit, you got Raider Red Meats for them. I mean, like the normal
yeah.
man is never going to find
no.
that quality just to start with. Not
yeah.
to mention the cook and the experience in the show. You don't got to put on a show. You just got to just have your pit out there fired. Just answer a couple
yeah.
of those questions. They're going to have a hell of a time.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. And I mean, that's the deal. You know, that's what's neat about those kind of things like that. Is that, yeah, I mean, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, you don't have to put on a show. I mean, you just go out there, you cook. They're going to come out there. They're going to be interested. They're going to, I mean, you know, they're going to, some of them are going to be intrigued about this and that. And just what you said. I mean, You share a little experience with them. You give them, just like Roy said, I mean, you give them some tips. And, you know, you help them make their backyard cook it better. And I guarantee you, right there, it'll make a huge difference with those people. And, you know, those are things that they won't forget. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
They don't have to be complicated. I mean, you know, go out there, be yourself. you know, and put on your, you know, your cook like you normally would. And I guarantee you, I mean, you know, it's like we are when we're at cook-offs, guys. I mean, we go to those cook-offs, and you have people coming around you all day long, and a lot of them, you know, asking questions and, you know, this and that. And you know, hell, I mean, you know, that's what it's – that's part of it. I mean, that's what it's part of it's about, is to be able to share your experience, be able to share with other people. I mean, you know, that to me, that's cooking. Cooking is a – like I said the other night, cooking's a family thing. I mean, and, you know, for centuries, people have gathered around cooking. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's kind of a universal thing. I mean, families get together, people get together, barbecues are nothing but about people getting together, socializing and having a good time and eating good food, you know. And that's what it's about.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. I've had a lot of people come up to me, you know, during a competition and, you know, ask what I'm doing and how do you know, about doing different techniques and stuff. And, well, I'm not a master at it, but, you know, I'll let them know what I know. And you know, then they might go ask somebody else and learn a little bit more, and you know, if I can at least give an idea to somebody, you know, give them an idea of where to start, how to start, or, you know, or something like that, I'm happy.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, I mean, you know, it's like that wrong or right kind of thing. I mean, you know, we all have our different styles of cooking, you know. Every, you know, it's like all three of us here talking. I mean, you know, there's probably a little bit of difference in how each one of us cook. Everybody's good cooks. And, you know, so, you know, your perception on, you know, how you do something or, you know, how you tell someone how to do it, it's not that it's the wrong thing. It's just, yeah, that's your
mm-hmm.
perception. And, yeah. You know, some people, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, some people will agree with it. Some people won't. They'll go ask the next person. And, you know, that's part of that, too, is that, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes those people are looking for someone that has their culinary style or whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, they may take your, you know, your thing into consideration. Or that, you know, and it's kind of like, okay. It's like we talk about. I mean, and, you know, here's one of those biggest controversial subjects is, you know, cooking brisket fat side up, fat side down.
Yeah.
Hell, I mean.
I thought you were going to say birth control.
Oh, well, you know, there you go. But, yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, there are good cooks that will go either way on that, you know. And, you know, that's, you know, it's not that so much that, you know, one's right or wrong. It's that particular style and how they do it. And it may be the style of cooker that they're using to do that, to accomplish it. You know, so there's some other factors and stuff there, too. And, you know, hell, I mean, those are those things. I mean, you know, everybody's got a little bit of style and everybody needs to. I think everybody needs to develop their own kind of style. I mean, you know, that, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, that's an identity. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's great to learn from everybody and to, you know, hell, I mean, you know, use those styles and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, in the end, though, it's you take those styles and you develop your own style from the experience that you have gained from all the different people that you have learned. And you develop your style, and that becomes your uniqueness. Now, some people don't. Some people, they see something out there, and that's how they like to cook, and it kind of fits them, and that's the way they go. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, I think that, you know, just kind of what we said. I mean, the Meyer Nixons, the Tuffy Stones, the, you know, all those different people there, you know, they've learned from lots of different people and seen lots of different techniques, Johnny Trigg and stuff, but they developed from all of that. They developed their own style of cooking, and that's what's made them so good, I think.
You're right. We just had this big old FBA this past weekend, and Meyer Mixon's out there. You know, Meyer, they were filming a new, you know, barbecue reality TV show. So they drew some teams that ain't normally out there. You know, there's four of them in the new show. But, you know, people are real impressed that Myron's there. Oh, Myron, you know, Myron. And like truth be told, I was like, man, you in this competition, if you're competing, you don't need to worry about Myron. You need to worry about the top three cats in the SCA. That if you're in Nebraska, maybe you're in New Mexico, you ain't never heard of, you know, Jim Elser. You ain't never heard of, you know, Hot Wachulas, Matt Barber. You ain't never heard of Dana Hillis. I was like, those cats will whoop your ass if you're down here cooking, you know? And it's barbecue. You know, you roll into Roy Powell's neck of the woods, it's like, shoot, he's modest. But, phew, he's going to have no mercy on you, like Karate Kid, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, that's what's
like.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to make my name out there, you know, known to everybody. So getting it done, you know, one cook at a time.
That's right. Well, so I guess we'll go here now since we've kind of stepped off out in there a little bit. Who's building a new tape for the new audition for Pitmasters?
You know, I was going to actually ask you the same question. Yeah.
Come on, Lance. Yeah. Come on, Roy.
I'm planning on it. I might have to. I don't know how to work it out, but I think I got a little bit of time for the entries to be done or turned in after I get home. But I got a lot of stuff going on whenever I get.
I think January 10th is what I'm hearing is the deadline.
Okay.
I think that's right.
I mean, I won't get home until the 19th or 20th. Then we're actually moving on post into a house on Fort Carson right after Christmas. So it's going to be kind of pushing the window for me to try and get one done. So we'll see.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm going to try one. We'll see. We'll see if we get it done. I'm kind of the same way. I'm going to try a little bit more this year and you know, go out there a little bit more. And, you know,
yeah.
We've been it's been a busy year for us. And we've had lots of irons in the fire this year. That's kind of it. I mean, you know, you're kind of going to that, you got to step out there a little bit, see what goes on, and
yeah, yep.
Take the good and bad and the ugly and the rest of it. And
well, you know, next year is going to be a little bit different for us too. So I'm getting rid of my smoker and I'm actually buying a pellet cooker after the first of the year. So
what?
Yep.
Nah,
well, everybody
I'm
knew
no, I'm
that.
Kidding. I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
Well, okay.
Yep.
Well, I'll try to help you as much as I can, but you're damn. I don't know how much I can help you on that part.
No, hey, Roy.
Here's
some serious advice. Here's some real advice. If you're going to cook on a pellet cooker, have you a, like your own, it doesn't have to be a generator, but it has to be some sort of power source.
Yeah.
Just in case you're out of the comp and you know how it goes, buddy.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Some drunk MF or, you know, like pulls out the wrong plug.
Yeah.
Have your own power source, but also, and this is a real tip, so, and anybody listening to this episode, have one of those computer battery backup for your cooker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The USB.
I'm not a computer guy.
UPS,
but one of those
UPS,
that are,
I'm sorry.
That'll float you for about 15, you know, 10 minutes if your power goes out. So your pellet cooker operating system doesn't,
yeah.
you know, drop off.
Yeah.
Dude, you can cook some hell of some great barbecue on a pellet cooker.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just have to, you've been to a cook-off, you know how, you know, people are in weather conditions
yep.
and like, oh, our power went out. You have to be able to offset some of that. So that battery backup and your own little power source doesn't have to be like, you know, a Honda 8000 or whatever generator, but it needs to be a little bit of something where you can buy a little time, you know, where your cooker won't have to, like, reset and get going.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I've already thought about that, so.
There you go.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Well.
Yeah, it's going to be total different for us next week or next year, so.
Well, we've made it through another night, boys. And I'm glad you guys called in because I really didn't have a plan tonight, so. I don't have this very often, but. Hey, it worked out well. I'm glad y'all called in, and I didn't have to talk to myself for 2 hours. And, I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving, and y'all will be safe out there, and have a good time. I guess, Roy, you won't get to spend time with your family, but I bet you find some good barbecue or something out there. Maybe you can get to do that at least.
Well, I've got a buddy of mine, him and his family is stationed up at Fort Meade, Maryland, which is about 2.5-3 hours away from here, and I'm going up there for Thanksgiving for the nice little 4 days.
Well, there you go. Good.
Yep.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, why don't y'all give a shout-out how to get a hold of you and how to find you on Facebook or whatever, and we'll just tell you what. Moody, you started off, then you, Roy, and we'll just kind of wrap this show up. Like I said, I'm glad you guys called in, and thanks to Reeves and Chadwick, and they also were in tonight, and all that, and so go ahead.
All right, man, shout out to John Reeves. Check him out on Thursday nights, Smoking X. Check out Governor Chadwick on Wednesdays. He's he's filming for Hollywood, if you follow him on Facebook now. So he's getting out there. Check him out on Wednesday nights, Blog Talk Radio. You know, personally, it was great to meet, you know, Daryl Mast. Hardest working man in barbecue. Definitely master of media, just super nice guy.
Absolutely.
this weekend at the SBA contest, but you know, Roy Powell, you know, God bless, you know, get home safe, and have them welders build you a barbecue pit, man. It'll be worth their time, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
And Lance Moore, always, brother, good to talk to you. You know, best to smoke to you if you're done for 2013 on the schedule. Best of luck at 2014, and I know you're gonna kill it on that catering gig. So I'm telling you, those cats, they've never seen nothing like you're gonna do. So man, just let that smoke roll. If y'all wanna find me, I'm on Tortoise Q on Facebook, just like the turtle. So look me up at Tortoise Cube, and I appreciate y'all having me on.
Thanks, brother. All right, Roy.
All right, well, this is Roy Powell from Fort Carson, Colorado. I've got Assault from the Sky Barbecue competition team that we compete under. We kind of short-lived our competition season this past year to only one competition due to unrealistic things that happens with the Army. But anyway, you can find me on my page, Assault from the Sky Barbecue on Facebook. You can find me on my personal page also. That's Roy Powell. I want to thank for 2013 sponsors, which are Strew Branch out of there in Texas, and Junior Urias. Got to give him a shout-out for supporting me this year when I needed it. So anybody out there looking, you know, for to sponsoring a team for next year, look me up. We just see what you got, see what we can do. I'll, you know, work my best and hardest to put your product out there. So look me up on Facebook.
Thank you, Roy. Guys, I appreciate y'all coming on tonight. I enjoyed it. And like I said, I'd like to I'll give a shout-out to all of my sponsors. And with that, Raider Red Meats, like I said, we talked a little bit about that tonight. If you're looking for some great meat, they're the people to call. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on online. So give them a shout-out. Pitmaster Depot, hey, that's one of the Florida things right there. Hey, Jay and Zach, if you need some competition products, stuff like that, they have grills or whatever you need. I mean, you got some of the cheapest shipping rates out there. Oak Ridge Barbecue, Mike Trump, hey, you know, what can I say, man? He's got some killer stuff out there. He's got some of the top teams in the United States right now cooking with his product. It is awesome. Y'all look him up, Oak Ridge Barbecue. It's great stuff. Let's see. AT's Barbecue. And if you're looking for some sauce on Jason Adams, he's got some great stuff out there. Give him a shout. You can find him on Facebook under AT's Barbecue. And we're under his personal page, Jason Adams. Big Ron's Rubs. Like I said, he's got some killer beef injections and stuff out there. He's got some other rubs. Great guy. Give Big Ron a shout. You can find him online too. You can find him under Big Ron's Rubs. You can go search for him. You can find him that way too. Meat Break. What can I say, man? If you need to rake your meat, they're the people to do it. Give them a shout. Meatrake.com. Grill Great. Man, like I said, they've got a great, great product for your barbecue grills. If you're wanting that infrared type technology, you need to get Brad Baird to holler. GrillGrades.com. It's great stuff. He's even got some newer stuff out. He's got some griddles. He's got some new tongs, stuff like that. Give them a shout. GOT Energy Services. Brandon, Jennifer Salden, what can I say? They have been a huge supporter of us this year. And I'd like to give them a shout-out. And with that, guys, you can find us as West Texas Pitmasters. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us online. Like I said, we also have some rub and stuff out there, too. So if you're looking for something different, give us a shout. And, guys, y'all all have a great week. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you again on Sunday night. Thank y'all. Good night.